decisions. Don't talk down those lines this morning. We taught Travis that he is made in the image and likeness of God. And then when he got to school and they told him different, he told them, "Nah, I'm made in the image and likeness of God." You couldn't make him believe he evolved from an ape or just an evolution or all of that stuff. We had taught him out of that word and a baby. From a baby, somebody say from a baby. Black God, we started putting it in him at 2 years old, praise God. And I talked about it at home. I talked about it at lunch. I talked about it at the supper table. I talked about Jesus all the time. All the time at my house, my Lord was mentioned, hallelujah. Because you know what? He was real to me, and I made quality decisions. A quality decision is a decision that me and you make regardless of what situation or circumstance in our life, based on the Word of God. It is the first thing that we turn to, and it is the final say of what's going to be the outcome, and we stand on it till we get the outcome. That storm come, blowed my whole barn down. Took it all down. Guy, he said, "Oh, man, I hate it." Feeling sorry for me. Brother in the Lord goes to another church, and I looked at him, and I said, "Well, there's a decision to be made." He looked at me, and what's that? I said, I'm either going to be defeated or I'm going to build back better. I said, and I'm not talking about Biden. I said, so bless God, I'm going to build. So I just released my faith, and I begin to. I made a quality decision, Johnny. This is an issue in my life. I wanted my barn. I wouldn't have built my barn. I wouldn't have worked. You wouldn't have been up there. I wanted my barn. I wouldn't have built my barn. Well, wind blowed my barn down. Now what do I do? Well, the devil. Devil didn't in there. He didn't have nothing to do with that. That was a natural thing that took place. Well, I told him, he said, "Build back better." "Yeah, but you lost a lot." I said, "I ain't lost nothing." I said, "I believed it in, black God, and it didn't cost me nothing." I said, "And I'll believe this one in." So I released my faith, and I thought, "Black God, I want this and steel trust and all that, you know, different things." And so this guy had some. I went and looked at them, and I said, "I'm not giving that for him." I said, "I'll give you this for it." I said, "I'll give you that for it." "Yes, sir. I'll just take it." Well, I got over there. There's supposed to be 8 trusts. I got over there, and I'm loading them up with his tractor with the front end loader. I'm loading them on there, and I'm thinking, man, my trailer's getting rounded up. And I'm like, he's got to be more than that. So I didn't count them or anything. I loaded them all up. My trailer was just rounded up, had to strap it on. Got over there yesterday, and I was unloading them. Yesterday morning, I was unloading them. And I'm like, I counted 12. So I got 12 trusts instead of 8 trusts. So I can go 120 foot instead of 50 foot. I'm going 100 foot. I believed it in. It's just because you work. No, it ain't because I work for myself. No, it's not because I'm that smart. The Bible says, all things are possible to those that believe. That's all the way to the rich, all the way to the poor. Everything in between. That word is not if you got smart or not. Absolutely, you're going to have to lay down your wisdom. You're going to have to lay down your ingenuity. You're going to have to lay down your trust in things other than him that he's going to supply, whether it be financially, a barn, a house, a block wall. I mean, I believe for windows in my house after I got moved into it. But God, and I mean, it was just a matter of about 3 months. God brought the money cash in that we didn't have. And we bought and paid. And then I took the brick out off, you know, and I put the windows in. I told Tracy, I said, "I believe, bless God, I can brick that back myself. I've never done no brick." So I thought, well, I'll do the back one first. So I go around back, get me some mortar and all, mix it up, and I'm having to put the little ledges back, you know. They lay the little ledges. And so it's kind of like that. Tracy comes out there, "What is that?" I said, hey, I said, it ain't perfect, but the house ain't perfect. You're not doing the rest of them now. I said, okay. So I just released my faith, believe in God, and I was in around to a brother. See, I made a quality decision. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to believe God to somebody to do it that knows what they're doing. But I'm willing to do it. If Teresa would have been happy with it, I would have had them all bricked up, crooked and all. It would have served the same purpose. But you know what? It wasn't too long after that. I was talking to one of my brothers, and I was telling him about it. He said, hey, so-and-so's retired. He laid brick all of his life, man. He was asking me the other day, do you know anybody that needs any little side work done? And I said, well, give me his number. So I called him up. Hey, man. Hey, yeah, brother, yeah. I said, well, come on over here and give me a price. He come over and looked at it, and he called me up, and he said, I'll do it for $350. I said, well, just get started. I said, just do it. I said, Lord, I need the $350. Lord, I need the $350 now, bless God. And I believe God, and time he got started, I had the $350. I didn't have it. You know, and people have told me over the years, well, it's because you own your own business and you can make money and draw. No, my business was failing me. These are times when my business was failing me. Everything was failing me but God. Everything will fail you but God. Hallelujah. And so we must make quality decisions. A quality decision is a decision based on the Word of God. Just like going to church. Y'all made up your mind. Y'all that are faithful, you made up your mind. All hell can come to your house on Sunday morning, neighbors, cops, and everything else, and you'll be in church. I had neighbors show up, a friend show up one time. I said, y'all better get your clothes out. Well, we drove a long way to visit you. Well, we'll talk after church. I ain't never seen them again. But I'm still going to church. I'm still happy with God, right? I made a quality decision. And when something shows up, see, when you make a quality decision, when something shows up, you'll know. If you don't make quality decisions, you'll go with the flow. That rhymed, didn't it? See, when you make quality decisions and something comes up, you will know that this is just coming to stop what you made the quality decision for. But if you don't make a quality decision, you won't know. You'll just go with the flow. You'll go with the flow of whatever it is that you're confronted with. It's supernatural things don't only happen for those that engage, those that go forward, those that make. I made a quality decision. If Teresa tells me that she's going to divorce me, she's done it since I've been a Christian. I made a quality decision. I mean, my mind say, I wish she would. She's all the time bossing me. Teresa's really a good person. But now she don't take nothing off of me. She ain't like some of y'all women just cow down. Y'all need to stand up and have some backbone in it. Get in there with God and fast and pray and be strong in the Lord so you can straighten your husband out if he needs it. Come on, somebody. I ought not to be teaching that in church. The Bible don't say the wife is a whipped puppy. The Bible says she's our helpmate, our helper. The one that Teresa reminds me a lot. I told her yesterday, I said, I'm going Wednesday, and I said, I'm just throwing this out there, and I'm buying something, you know. I said, that I believe I need. I said, and I'm going. She said, and she just come back, she said, oh, no, my mate said something in a few minutes. She said, I didn't mean to say that. I started to say, don't ever say it again. But I thought, no, I want my woman to stand up. I want her to not to be afraid to, you know, to be strong in situations. Sometimes we need them to be strong. A woman has to make quality decisions to be that man's helpmate. You know what that means? That means to help me succeed. That means to help me. That don't mean to do it all for me. I told Teresa the other day, I said, you're going to follow me. I'll work some of that weight off of you. Hallelujah. Well, I told somebody told me yesterday, said, God, you're busy all the time, ain't you? And I said, yeah. See, rich people, Rich people don't sleep late. Rich people get up early. Rich people are productive. I'm talking about wealthy millionaires out there. They don't lay in the bed. They don't. They're productive. They're workers. They work. Now, lazy people that waste a lot of their, they think they got to hire somebody for everything. That guy, he told me, he said, man, you go on just about every job. I said, sure do. I said, it's my job. I said, I work from 7 to 5 every day. I said, just because I'm the boss don't give me a right to be lazy with the Lord. The Bible says, a little sleep, a little slumber, laziness, so shall your poverty come. Little sleep, little slumber, little folding of your hands, so shall your poverty come. See, we got to make quality decisions to be workers for the Lord. Let a man work with his own hands. You know, I'm not against paying somebody. I pay people. I need them to help me because I can't do it all. But if I could do it, I did it all by myself. Didn't have nobody. I did it for four solid years. Turned every boat, pastored this church. I was determined. I'd made a quality decision. This is the will of God for me to work. Hallelujah. And I'm going to do it. And God, I can do all things, making quality decisions in all the time, not really realizing that the road of diligence was going to bring me to the end of a victory road. Making quality decisions. Quality decision is decisions made based on God's word, not feelings and circumstances and emotions. I mean, this just happens all the time. Well, I told that dude, I said, you're right. I said, you're right. I said, I need to live life a little. I said, the Lord brought that property into my life 5 years ago. I said, and I've been working on my future with it. I've been working hard. I've been working overtime. I've been, after I get off work, go. I said, I fenced it in, and I've dug ponds and all of that stuff, all the while knowing while I'm doing it that I'm working towards my future. I said, but you're right. I said, but just a few more years. I said, because I've been believing God and working hard for several years, I said, it's paying off. I said, and it's going to pay off. I said, and you're right. I said, here in just a few more years, I said, I'm going to take it easy a little bit. I said, but right now, I said, I need to work. It keeps me physically fit. It keeps me mentally fit. It keeps me in the game with God. It keeps me disciplined inside so that things don't defeat me, finances and emotions and marital trouble and all that stuff that comes. And you know, I mean, they sent an 80-something thousand agents out to audit people and blah, blah, blah. They already got it where if you draw out $10,000 out of your savings, it can be a red flag to you. So, but I'm going to draw out $5,000. But why I said that is I'm not going to get in fear over anything. God is able to do abundantly because me and you make quality decisions to trust our God in who we put our trust in and do our best to stand on His Word and turn to the Word of God and see what God says about it. What did He say about your house? What did He say about your car? What did He say about your light bill? What did He say? What does He say about fear? What does He say? What does that Word say? So that's what you turn to. God has not given us a spirit of fear, of cowardness, timidity, but of power, love, and a sound. That's what He's given me. He, all through the Bible, He told them, fear not. Fear not. Just like with Caleb and Joshua, I mean, here they are having to walk by faith like me and you do. And got dreams of getting to a promised land. Have you got dreams of being debt-free before you're 99 years old? Have you got plans when you do draw Social Security, you're going to have to give the $800 for your $650 house payment? That's not going to be good. I told Teresa, I said, you know, I said, talking about Social Security, my brother talking about Social Security the other day, I was telling her. And I said, that's why I've been believing God for years now and doing something about it. I said, that's why I've been believing God. I even preach it at this church. Don't live in today, just short term. Don't live. Don't think short term. Don't live from Friday to Friday just getting by. Get your heart out yonder beyond that. Be successful where you are and manage where you are. Make a quality decision and get it in your heart that God is going to prosper you, that the end of your life will be better. Look, they're laying in these low-income apartments that didn't serve the Lord, that we go and deliver food to them. They got no time to go to bed. They got no time to get up. They got no money for a car. Went over here, one of them, you know, told me, Brother Scott, I need to believe God for a car. I said, how much you draw a month? Told me. I said, you can't even buy a tag. I said, you can't afford a car. I said, I can give you a car, but you can't keep the insurance on it. You ain't got no money left every month. You're asking the church to pay for your bills. How are you going to do that? I said, you can't do it. Why I'm telling you that is, and I told that lady, we'll pay all of your bills. You start tithing on your income. You start tithing on your income. Every month, tithe. I said, and give me your bills every month, and I'm going to pay all of your bills until more than enough comes in because you're honoring God. She wouldn't do it. That was a no-brainer, wasn't it? Dude, you would have had all your money. We're going to pay your lot bill. We're going to pay your water bill. See, that is poverty thinking. They're all up in my business. All I wanted was the car. Well, I'm trying to get you where you can buy your own car. What I was trying to do is get the woman to make a quality, God-based, Bible-based decision to honor God. That was like cussing her out to her. And then go off and tell people, boy, that faith way Christian sinner. All they are over there is about money. That's exactly what you was asking me for. You're all about money too, ain't you? They don't think like that. Thought I wanted her money every month out of her, not even thinking he's going to pay the lot bill and the water bill. Boy, Satan had her blind, didn't he? But see, we got to make quality decisions based on the Word of God. Decisions based on the Word prospers whatever area you make it. I mean, I've seen Teresa. She's not gotten mad at me in over 2 months. That was just about every day. I'm telling you. You know what? She got sick and tired of it. See, when you get sick and tired of wherever you're at that you don't like about yourself, you're the only one that can get up and make the change to do something about it. Because I was fasting for her, praying for her. And I mean, every time she'd get in the vehicle with me, somebody'd pull out in front of me, and I'd just slow down, and it would tick her off. Did you see that? I'm like, I'm driving. How could I not see it? It didn't bother me. Shut up over there. You're trying to get me mad now. Go run them down. I'm not getting in that spirit with you. Well, every time. I mean, I would ride with her, and I was thinking about buckling up. And I don't ever buckle up. But when I get in the truck with her, I was thinking about buckling up because, I mean, it's like she's a magnet for all this dumb driving right at her. I mean, it happens every now and then to me, you know, but I mean, I don't, you know. But anyhow, she told me she got mad at me on vacation. That's the last time she's got mad at me. She got mad at me, and I told her, I said, you are wrong. Got it? I said, just making a note record for yourself, you are wrong. Just for the record, I left the house. you tell me? I'm going to work on Ben, sweetie, later on. I said, that's up to you. I said, I'm happy. See, she had to make a quality decision that the devil in the flesh is not going to rule here anymore. I'm going to have this God-centered life to where I can drive and not get mad. I can drive and none of these things move me. These are scriptures in the Bible. Now I go with her, nothing ever happens. She's not screamed. I hadn't had to tell her not one time, I'll take you to the ground like I've done before. See, if we used to get into it, instead of hurting her, I'd just take her to the ground. Better busting her teeth out, ain't it? Right? Better breaking her neck, jaw, all that. So I just take her to the ground and hold her. She spit in my face and everything. When I get up, I'm going to kill you. You ain't getting up. I'm going to choke you with your arms till you shut up. I'd cross her arms till she just wore herself slap out trying to get up. You can't get up. I got you on the ground. So I'd tell her every now and then, I said, you mess with me, I'm going to take you to the ground. Just don't mess with me. You won't be on the ground. Feels good standing. But she'd been down being funny then. But anyways, I mean, she made a quality decision. And now, bless God, I can see her changing. I can see her changing her attitude. I hear it when she talks to her mom. I hear it when she talks to people and all of that stuff. I hear it. But you know what? She made a decision and started asking God, God, help me. God, help me to change. Help me. Help me to apply this, Lord. Help me. You know, when we make quality decisions, we're actually giving God the invitation to move in. Because biblical decisions, God's already in it. He's already on it. And that's the life of Jesus. That's what the Apostle Paul said, I believe, over there. He said, I am crucified with Christ. I live, yet not I, but the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. And my pastor said one time, he said, have faith in the seed in you. And I had a revelation, you know, that I've got to have confidence in the Lord in me. And you know what? It changed my conversation around Travis. I don't speak doubt and unbelief. I try not to ever do it. And if I do it, bless God, I'll apologize to him. Why? I'm supposed to be a man of faith. I thought Jesus was my supply. He was my healer and all of that, you know. I've been aware that I've got to be an example to my son. Whether he ever respects me or not, don't make me no difference. You know, I'm going to glorify the Lord like Teresa was talking about. You know, and it's not pushing Jesus down his throat and trying to straighten him all up and all of that, and you need to go to church. And that's not really glory, what's bringing God glory. What's bringing God glory? He asked me one time. I asked the Lord, we didn't have no money, and I needed a heater, a wood heater, because I like to burn heat. It saves money, and I like the wood, and I like cutting it, and you know, busting it and all that. I mean, I enjoy doing it. It works me out in the wintertime. But anyways, we didn't have no, and Travis knew it. He knew we didn't have no money. And I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, I said, I need a wood heater. And Lord, I'm tired of these used ones, Lord, that I get wore out already when I got it. The grates are bad. I said, Lord, I want a brand new one, sir, please. I said, I just receive it. Whatsoever things I desire. Now I made a quality decision based on the word. I asked him for it. Now I got to believe that I receive it. And so the Lord gave me instruction in the middle of no money, no way I could have got one, didn't have no money, business not doing good, all of that. And I got me a brand new one. Brand new one. And Travis asked me, he said, Dad, see, what I'm saying is, I'm not trying to point you toward me. I told you that I asked the Lord for it, right? I didn't get it on my own. I didn't come up with great faith to get it. But I made a conscious decision, quality decision, that I have need of a heater, and God is the one, he is my source and supply, so I'm going to turn to the one. That is a quality decision. I did it, and I told Travis, he said, how did you do that, Dad? I said, the Lord give me instruction. He's seen me get things. He's seen things happen that only he knew God could do in my life because I trust him. That's what brings glory to God. Called the bank one time. The Lord told me, he said, buy another truck. And I thought, Lord, I'm 3 months behind on everything. 3 months behind, Johnny. And Lord didn't have, he said, buy your truck. I picked up the phone, I called Travis, I said, find me a truck. Find me one, son. I want to later my whatever, I said. He found one. Pretty black, quadra steer, all four tires will turn, you know, your back tires, all that, you know, $10,000-something, whatever it was, I don't remember. So I went over there, me and Travis went over there, we drove it, and I told a dude, I said, well, give me the title here. I called the bank, and my lady gets on there, does things for me, and she pulled up everything, and she said, you're 3 months behind. I said, I know it. You're behind on your house, too. I said, I know it. You're behind on everything here at the bank. And I said, yeah, I know it. I said, I know it. She said, well, you're going to get it all caught up, ain't you? And I said, you know I will. Okay. She said, just come get your check. 3 months behind. I made a quality decision not based on the bank or my credit score or all of that, that whatever God says to you and to me, black God, if we will believe him, it will and is possible to happen. I paid that one off. I absolutely went from that and paid. I made a quality decision. Look, you think you're happy when you got plenty of money. That's not what makes you happy. You think you'd be happy when all your bills are behind, you had money to get it caught up. No, there's something in you that needs to learn how to be content. We heard it in Sunday school. When you don't have enough, when you have enough, and then when you have more than enough. See, we got to learn in whatever state we're in to be satisfied in the Lord. That don't mean sit down and not believe God. But we got to be able to believe God and be happy in the Lord and joyful in the Lord when we never have enough to make the ends meet. See, there's keys right in there. Most people that I've seen when they go to getting into, I mean, I've seen guys in ministry. I've seen them in ministry. I mean, got the anointing, God going to raise them up and all that, and go to have financial difficulties. Now they can't go preach anymore. I'd be like, what's up with that? What's up with, well, I mean, you know, I just got too many issues going on at home to preach. I said, you reckon Paul could have said that? He didn't even have a wife. Reckon when he went down there, gee, I told him, I said, look, man, I said, I'm not jumping your case or nothing. I said, but since when do we look at things to work out before we do the will of God? Since when in the Bible have we come to modern times now to where when challenges are not there and it's easy and we got plenty of money and they're giving you plenty of offering and all of that and everything's working out, then you can go and minister? Is it come really to that now? Not with me, it's not. I've always had challenges the whole time I've been a Christian. I don't know about none of y'all. I mean, I believe I had less trouble before I got saved. At least people knew I could kill them. Now they know you're a Christian. They think, well, you know, they can't do nothing to you now. That don't happen to me now. But I've seen them lay down and just roll over to the thoughts the enemy's giving them. I mean, there was a time in my life to where I felt like that I would pay Teresa to divorce me where I could preach. But you know what? I had to learn how to preach while Teresa wasn't straight. I had to learn how to preach when my finances wasn't good. I had to learn how to preach and minister under the anointing when everybody it seemed like around me was against me. That's you. I've had people say, well, I can't be like that. Why not? I got it out of the Bible. Why not? Why can't you be a man or a woman of faith? Why can't you believe for supernatural things to happen? Why can't you believe for God to strengthen you? Why can't you believe like people do and get the result? Why can't you? See, just because you've not tapped into some of the supernatural things that other folk are in and walking in because that is a ladder, that's where you learn, don't mean you can't attain to it. Right? If I can never get mad, you can never get mad. If I can do it, you can do it. Why? Because the same Bible, same anointing, same Jesus is for everybody on the planet. Right? If I can go from a busted marriage to a good marriage, so can you. Well, I mean, I've just never been able to. I don't go preaching that. Don't preach some other gospel out of that Bible because you've experienced a bad marriage. Don't go preaching another gospel. Because the Bible says that some preach another gospel. Well, just like, you know, you just know God giveth and God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They preach that out of Job in the churches because they suffer loss. Somebody told me one time, said they're losing everything. The Lord sent me to their house. Now, I didn't know they're losing everything, but the Lord told me to go by there, and I thought, man, I'm not going by there. I'm going to go by, Lord, but if the husband's not there, I'm not staying. I'm not knocking. I'm not getting out. That's a no-no, guys. I got no business. You got no business in the presence of a woman, even if you are a ministry to her, or a man. Got it? Why? Give no place to the devil. Had one of the neighbors up there, woman walks over there in the cow pasture and says, hey, Brother Scotty, could you give me a ride to Bluntsville? I said, no, can't give you a ride to Bluntsville. Go get your boyfriend. Go get your neighbor. Well, I mean, I'm scared of them dogs. I said, I hate it for you. No, you're not getting a ride to Bluntsville with me. And I'm thinking, give no place to the devil, right? Get in there. I got a good reputation down here. I got a good conscience right now. Get in there and somebody, I see Brother Scotty with that all riding around town. And boy, I mean, they look happy. Happy, happy. You think it'd be giving place to the devil? I do. Walk. Get you a job. If you had a job, you wouldn't be have time to be out here right now. You'd be working somewhere. You'd be driving you a car. No, I'm not taking you nowhere. Never. I'm smarter than the devil, right? Teresa, she went by yesterday and some dude out burning a garbage pile and he's laying out on the ground over there, you know. She's telling me about it yesterday. We went to Bluntsville. Abraham got something to eat. She said, that guy's gone. I said, what guy? And she said, well, I mean, I started down. She said, and the guy was laying out on the ground over there beside that burn pile. I said, what if he was dying? She said, well, I ain't gonna stop for no man on the right side of the road laying there. I ain't stopping for no man. And I'm like, well, man, what if it was me? And these other women think like that. I mean, it's not like you want him. The dude, she just won't do it. I said, you should have called 911. But I think he's taking a nap, burning that garbage pile. But you know what? She won't get in the presence of a man without a woman with her. Not because she's afraid she'll do anything. She's just not going to give place. I mean, what am I doing on this? Be aware of what I'm telling you. I was taught that in ministry at my church, in classes. So we ain't having classes, but you get class and preaching and experience and anointing all in one. Don't just take it as normal. You know? I mean, I go to jail and them women, come on here, Brother Scotty. I can't come this week. Why not? I'm by myself. We won't let nothing happen to you. I'm like, I can't come up this week. I'm down here. I would not go to the women's cell, man. I ain't going in there. There's demons in there. Feelings and emotions in there. Feeling sorry. I wouldn't go, never, without my buddy with me. I'll see you next week. And then when we went in, I said, let's don't even go to the guys this week. Let's go up to women. Then we go to the women and minister to the women because I got somebody with me to help me stay in check. I help him stay in check, and we keep them in check because all of them ain't in there for being good girls. They're not in jail for being good girls, but we're there to set them free. And if I'm yielding to that spirit that's in her, I can't set them free. Why? Because I'm partaking of that same spirit. Hallelujah. See, I made a quality decision. Now, I'm independent. I'm going from the church, but I'm there and I can do anything I want to. But I could say, well, I feel led to go on up there. That Lord ain't leading me. Not by myself. Go get the correction, go get the jailer or something, take with you. Don't go by yourself. And women, same thing. They call it, I'm counseling. Had one guy tell me, I said, man, come on to church. Nah, I'm going up to is it called Sammy's? What's that go-go lounge up there? Fox's. Yeah, brother, come on to church. Nah, brother, I mean, the Lord's sending me up there to Fox's to minister to that woman up there, and she's got cancer. I said, nah, man. I said, he ain't sending you to Fox's, man. With the anointing. I said, no, he's not sending you to Fox's to go minister to that woman at Fox's. I said, it's a go-go lounge. I said, what he wants to do, though, is get you in church so you got better sense than that. I said, I'm telling you right now, but God, you need to get her to the house of God. You don't need to go up there and pray for her at Fox's. Y'all need to hear this in church, right? This stuff is happening out there. Thinks he's anointed. I mean, have you told your wife yet? Well, nah, man. I mean, you know how it is. I mean, it might get a little upset. And I'd shoot you. Ain't told his wife, but Jesus is leading him. Don't go to church and take your family to church. But Jesus is leading you to Fox's up there to minister to a woman with cancer. That's dumb. Now, I'm not saying, I mean, just like Kevin Mullins, the Lord led him outside the bar with tracks. Outside the bar with tracks. Led him outside there. And a prostitute is in there. And they got a tent revival. And he's out on the sidewalk. And he's catching them with tracks. And the Lord told him, this one's your wife. She was a prostitute. So he invited her to the tent revival. He didn't say, you're going to go home, me. You're going to be my wife, baby. We might as well hook up. God said it. He said, so he took her to church. He took her to the tent revival. She gave her heart to Jesus. They're married today. I think men married longer than men, Teresa. God delivered her from that and brought her out and brought her in under that kind of anointing. That's anointing there. That other wasn't seeing no results other than you're going to bust your marriage up. You're going to mess somebody's life up. I got no business up at whatever it is, Foxy's ministry. It'll be good coming out of there to meet Johnny. Hey, brother, what are you doing? Jesus sent me up to Foxy's, man, you know. I mean, you know, my conscience, Teresa just preached it. There's no way. I'd jump out and leave my truck on the side of the road and run in the woods, Johnny. He ain't going to see me. He can wonder where I'm at all day long. I sure ain't going to tell him I just come out of Foxy's ministering to that woman with cancer. That's dumb. I don't know where that all come from, but you need to hear this stuff. It's good stuff. That way you're not sidetracked by the enemy of the way that God works. When he went down to the boat down there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and them fishing, he said, come on and follow me. He didn't say, stay where you are. Think the same way you're thinking. Come on. You're a fisherman now. You're operating in this realm now. But I'm going to make you fishers of men. I want to use you. And the Bible says they left it and followed him. Right? They made a quality decision. I mean, you know, God asked us to do it today. He didn't ask me to quit my job, but he asked me to put him first. He didn't ask me to quit the garage door business, but he said, don't ever let it get in the way of me. He didn't tell, I quit my job one time because I was full time. I knew that I was called in the ministry in full time. I quit my job and waited on God to open doors, and doors never opened. You can starve to death in the will of God if you're going the wrong way to get it done. I mean, we got hungry. Trace told me, you're going to have to go back to work. I said, I'm a full-time minister. She said, well, who said you had to quit your job? Said, Paul made tents, man. Jesus was a carpenter. Did you know Jesus was a carpenter? Paul made tents. He said he worked with his own hands. He wasn't a burden to the church, you know? And so when I went back to church, lo and behold, that very next Friday, I had some money. I realized this is the will of God. Working and preaching is the will of God, both of them. And then I made a quality decision then that I can do them both. I can do them both. And you know what? God's grace is in that when you make that quality decision. But you know, don't wait on your life. If you're in the ministry, called to the ministry, I mean, don't be a Jonah. He didn't like the people. No, it was about the obeying God part. It wasn't about, he could have sent anybody over there. I mean, he's God. You know, but don't procrastinate on the things that God wants you to be doing in your life, praise God, because you're waiting on everything to line up. I just ain't really got time to do that kind of stuff. No, you just don't know what you're saying. You ain't got time not to be an obedient to the Lord, not to do. You don't got time. See, you need God's grace and God's anointing and God's ability on your whole life, and it is in the life of Jesus, taking on him, whatever he wants us to do. You know, I mean, it's just like I could live anywhere. We can live anywhere. But God, I knew God wanted me to live close to Hansville. I didn't know that I was going to be pastoring down here in Bluntsville. But what if I'd have bought a house over yonder in Georgia? And God wanted me to pastor down here in Bluntsville. Which one would be more important, Bluntsville or Georgia? Bluntsville. Why? Because I'm in the will of God down here. You're in the will of God. So we got to make quality decisions. The Bible says, give me that up. Deuteronomy 11, if you would, and watch close with me. That wasn't in my notes. But. Therefore, you shall lay up these words in your heart and in your soul and bind them for a sign upon your hand. This is where I got this way back yonder, that what I even preach now when I talk about Jesus all the time at my house. I mean, Teresa told me one time, she said, you're just not as funny as you used to be. I said, I'm not as serious as I used to be about life, about our marriage, about our future. I said, and I read the scripture in there, when I was a child, I spake like a child and acted like one. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. She said, yeah, you used to be a lot more funnier than you are now. I said, would you rather be funny or have victory? Because I can't be foolish about life and have the kingdom. I said, it's just not going to happen. He said, that your heart and your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them to your children. You think he meant it? I mean, I think he did. I think he didn't just say go to church and that's the only time they're going to hear the Bible. That's the only time they're going to be fasting. That's the only time they're going to hear praying or anything. Travis, you know, he never has felt comfortable coming around me with cussing. Some people's kids just come around and they cuss up a storm. That shows you something about that parent. That shows me something about me, you know. Why? Because he feels a conviction. They feel a conviction. I was in work at Thunderworks the other day, and she and standing there, and this dude over there, he's just cussing up a storm. Now, Sandra knows him. I don't know him. We're getting gas up there. Standing there, and she looks over him. She said, man, that's my pastor doing all that cussing. He looked up there at me, and he said, well, everybody got issues. I said, you ain't bothering me one bit. But you know what? When he found that out, it brought conviction to him. Should have. You know why? It was convicting Cassandra. You know why? Because she knows I don't stand around hear that. I ain't going to hear that. I'm not going to say that stuff, and I'm not going to hear that stuff, and it's bothering Cassandra that it's in front of me. See, that's the way conviction is. And so her conviction caused her to come out of her mouth and say, "That's my pastor here, you know, cussing." I told him, I said, "It don't bother me." But you know what? I've made and you've made and we've made quality decisions to be honoring the Lord. Honoring the Lord, hallelujah. Not just faith so we can get our houses and all that. Not just faith so we can have a good life. He didn't call us in this kingdom just so we can have a good life, man. I mean, we'll have a good life and we'll live a good life, but if we're all self-centered and self-willed and not disciplined, Teresa was talking about disciplined flesh, and I'm sitting back there and I can see a few areas in my life where I need to discipline my flesh a little bit more, you know. My thoughts here lately, you know, I thought, well, you know, Travis got some good help now, but God, I just don't think I'm going to work as hard as. That's dumb. That's dumb. If I get a hold of that right there, I'll get lazy like he is sometimes. He works hard to get back home, Johnny. I'm telling you, that boy is geared up. I mean, he's geared up from the time we leave till he gets home, and then he's like, I mean, we're standing over at the land yesterday, and we're standing out in the sun, and it is hot a little bit, you know, and he said, I got to go get back in air condition. He went and got on his motorcycle and went home. I thought, well, that's what that gets you. Can't stand out there and talk to Dad 30 minutes because you're sweating, man. You got to go get back in air condition. Only reason he goes out to Mom's because she turns the fan on. They sit on the back porch in the cool. Hour after hour, but come over to see Dad in the sun, 20 minutes, and that's it. Got to go. Got to get back to the air conditioner was calling him. Might be a little lazy. That's why I spent money on fans. That's the first thing I do is drag all the fans out. We pull up on the job, Johnny. I got two fans. I get them out, plug them up, and I get their hair blowing. They get up on the ladder, I adjust it. Psst. I go over here and adjust this. Psst. I mean, they got. I want to keep them cool. I don't want even want to break a sweat. Because now they go thinking about the air condition. I made a quality decision to take care of my guys. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. The quality decisions that you've made, you gotta maintain them. You know, there's maintenance on qualities. I made a quality decision, I'm going to prosper. And bless God, when something comes to get in the way of that prosper, I attack it right then. I attack it, I bind the devil, or whatever, if it ain't the devil, I say God works all things together for the good, I attack it, because ain't nothing going to get in the way of that decision that I made that's going to cause me shipwreck concerning that down the road. So I'm going to maintain. I made a quality decision, I'm going to maintain it. I made a quality, you better make a quality decision to keep your body fit. Because I mean, just like Teresa, she's having to work double hard right now. You know, I mean, she used to work out. I mean, I'd see her down there, eye the tiger on. Well, she said, "I'm going to sign up for the gym." I said, "Leave the we out." She's trying to get me to the gym. This has been years ago. I mean, she's like, "Well, we're going to Cleveland. We're going to run 3 miles," and I'm like, "Leave me out of it, dude. I work all the time, man." You know, well, we got to be fit. God wants our bodies fit. Well, she went through the garbage. She went through with the drunk and all that and couldn't do nothing for 2 years. And praise God, it's hard for her to go pick. It was hard for her before she started back to go last to pick a whole row of okra. Where I go out there, that okra row's nothing. Pick it and back. I pulled up one day. She's out there in the middle of it. Boy, she's hot. I pulled out there at the garden and went out there. She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm going to help you pick that garden." I said, "I'm going to pick that okra for you, baby." But you know what? Because she couldn't do nothing, she started losing strength, started losing motivation. She started losing, and then she got accustomed to just sitting there doing nothing. And now she tells me, "Man, I got accustomed to doing nothing. Now I have to make myself do things." We're used to, she's trying to enroll me in everything. But she's working on it. She made a quality decision. I'm 50. I'm 50 years old. I'm not going to be this way. I'm going to change. I've did it before. And with God's help, and she's asking God, but she's working on it. She made a quality decision, and now I told her, I'm in there with you, baby. I'm in faith with you, baby. I'm going to eat what you cook, and I'm not going to gripe. You know, I mean, I'm going to splurge every now and then, praise God, but I'm in there with you. See, you need to be a pusher for your mate. Even though it costs me some of that stuff I have to eat. I won't even get into all that. I eat it by faith. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord,